All right, everybody, welcome to the Barca Blaugranas podcast. I am joined by our buddy Emil Avanesian to talk all things injuries. Emil, how are we doing today?
I'm all right, man. I'm better than the Barca back line, I suppose. But...
And here's the thing. We knew this was going to happen. We were like, you know, we were in bliss land. Barcelona was great. They were deep. We knew that with this World Cup cycle and the weird international breaks and how the international, quote, breaks weren't really going to be leisurely breaks anymore because international teams were getting their last practices in, theoretically, before the biggest tournament of, like, most of these players' lives. So they weren't going to take it easy. And we're seeing the ramifications of that. I'm just going to go through Ronald Araujo. Is it Araujo?
It's Araujo.
Araujo. Really?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Ronald
Araujo. Yeah.
I've been saying that wrong for months now. That's great. He's out for a few months. He had surgery in Finland, although I guess he's, quote, not giving up on his World Cup dream.
So what I saw yesterday is apparently, like, the surgery went well. So, like, that's, like, that went as well as could be expected. But there's no date. And as of yesterday, so I haven't actually, I haven't had a chance to look today. But, like, have they ballparked it at least?
No, I mean, the latest report was from Dario Sport, which says that he was in good spirits and that he's convinced he can make it to the World Cup. I mean, Uruguay's first match is November 24th, and that's, I guess, that's
basically
2 months
away. Yeah, 2 months from now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe he can go on the bench. I don't know.
It
says,
like,
3 months, and that's the thing. That does not line up with him being back for the World Cup.
No, and, like, and I know sometimes, you know, players do successfully come back sometimes, like, you know, well ahead of or off of. Like, I think it's a guideline, like, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't expect to see him at the World Cup, and, like, honestly, I mean, I hope we don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of hope he doesn't show up at the World Cup.
No, I mean, for him personally, because, like, I understand, like, it's his dream, you know, but, yeah.
He's,
like,
also young, right? I mean, how old is he, like, 28?
Oh, I don't.
Let's see. He's old. Oh, wow. He's 23.
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah, you.
I was
going to
say
no. Don't risk.
I was
going to
say 24 or 25. Yeah.
Stay away, Ron. Stay away.
He's actually younger than I thought.
Don't go to Qatar.
So in that sense, I mean, like, presumably. I mean, I'm assuming he's not going to be at the World Cup. So, I mean, that's, look, that really sucks. But in a weird way, and I do, like, I hate to say this, but, like, the World Cup comes at a perfect time for all of, well, not a perfect time, but comes at a decent time for all of Barca's injuries, because it gives everybody who is on the shelf, like, a month to mend.
I hope. Hector Bellerin, another defender, is out for a month now. Jules Koundé is also out for a month.
Yep.
Cool. And then Memphis Depay is out for a month, apparently, and Frankie de Jong is out for a week.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, the de Jong one seems fairly minimal. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think it's, like, even if he, like, had to play, like, it sounds like he could. But, yeah, like, but all the other ones sound.
And, good. I mean, the thing is, like, it's not like they have a break from important matches. I mean, this match,
oh, I was just
upcoming match against
the...
Inter...
I was just about to read off the schedule to you.
Yeah.
So it's away to Malaga, away to Inter, 3 days later?
Yep.
5 days after that, home for Celta. 3 days after that, home for Inter in the Champions League.
Wait, so there's no break in the turnaround for the Champions League? I thought there was, like, a short break when they played half the pool play.
I think this whole World Cup thing is, like, just...
What?
Forget
I feel
that
like there
the
usually is.
I think there is. There usually is. Yeah, it's like gold. Yeah.
So but, here's the thing. I mean, Inter at this point are, like, reeling. They are.
Oh, wait. They're in chaos. Not even done. And then you wind down October with 4 days after Inter is El Clasico in Madrid. Then you come back 4 days later at home against Villarreal. What is it? 3 days later, it's home against Athletic Club de Bilbao. 3 days after that, it's Bayern Munich at home. And then 4 days after that, it's Valencia.
Are they going to finish up the last group group stage match in the Champions League before the World Cup break?
Yeah, so like basically I did everything through the end of October, and then okay. the last one against Victoria Pilsen is like, that can't be right. Is it? It can't actually be the day after the, or 2 days after the Valencia game. Well, I guess why not? Let's do it. Let's get weird. But like, just yeah. So basically between now and November 1st, they are playing 10 matches.
Holy crap.
Four of them in the Champions League. El Clasico, Villarreal, Bilbao. Yeah.
And like, not to be over dramatic, but that's why that loss in Munich was so, why it sucked.
Yeah, it was
so
tough,
bad.
Yeah.
And it sucked bad because like we thought they were the better team. I still think like on
they
on
were. The, I mean, on the night they absolutely were.
Yeah, and you know, the Barcelona team loves to tell you how they deserved more, but they didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to stuff the ball in the net. Like that's how it goes.
Gosh, that was so frustrating to hear. It's like, guys, you know how many times you guys have done this against Bayern Munich? Like this isn't
the one good thing was, and I think we sort of all came away with it with a little bit of like, I don't know, a little bit more like happy vibes, because it was like the last three times they played Bayern, it looked like they didn't belong in the same universe, let alone the same competition.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay,
I mean, this time
cool.
It was just annoying because like they're clearly, they know who they are way more than Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich still like are discovering their footing. We're seeing that in German competition, but it didn't matter. Like that was the sucky thing. It just didn't matter.
Well, there was what, the three or four. Look, I mean, the first half was the golden opportunity when, you know, was it, I think like the two Lewandowskis and Pedri, and you know, like that was your, and I know technically they could have, you know, clawed something back or whatever, but it's like, you know, when that golden opportunity sort of passes and then Bayern just clips you twice in 5 minutes and
like, in a vacuum, it was frustrating. Like, oh, another loss to Bayern. But looking at like the schedule that you just read off, that loss now makes these inter matches like, you have to win these two inter matches. You can't leave it up to having to win against Bayern.
So I think the way I was kind of doing just kind of calculating it out and stuff like that. I think if they can get 4 points from the two inter matches. Now, ideally, to win them both is preferable. But if you can get 4 points from the inter matches and just take care of business in that last Victoria Pilsen one, you get to 10 points.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know where that leaves, like, what that actually means for Inter, but...
It means Inter, even if Inter wins their other match against Bayern and Victoria Plaza, they would only be at 9 points. So that's
well, no, because see, yeah. So yeah, if Barca get 4 points, they would be 7-4.
They'd be at Barca 10.
And then beat Pilsen, you'd be at 10, but you would leave Inter with just like that. Yeah,
and if Inter happened to beat Bayern and Victoria Plaza, they would also be at 10.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So now the one, you know, Barca have the goal difference edge now. So
I don't know. But, I mean, it these injuries don't help like this.
No.
Is the match against Inter next week at home or is that away?
The first one's in Italy.
Ugh, that sucks.
Yeah. I know.
The thing is for Inter, like, I mean, Brozovic is hurt. So Brozovic is out for a month. Lukaku's still out.
Yep.
So like Inter,
but like they're actually catching Inter at a pretty good time. I mean,
they're catching Inter at a really good time.
Yeah, like for considering just what a nightmare this schedule is. Yeah, like if you have to do that, I guess it's not so bad. And
the good news is, right? Like so far, you know, Lewandowski, Dembele, Rafinha, Ansu, and Pedri all seem healthy.
Yes,
and if you have all those guys, you can score.
Dembele
goals.
Took himself out of one of the France's games.
Thank goodness.
But,
should have wrapped him in bubble wrap.
Yeah. But like, it sounds like, because he just said he felt something and like pulled the plug on himself. Like,
did
right
he say
away.
He felt something? For some reason, I thought they like, he didn't even play.
No, let's see. Well, there was.
Okay. So he didn't play against Denmark.
Right. But I think, what was it? It was the one before that, I think.
Was it? Okay. All I know is that he's back in training. There's no, I don't know. I didn't know. Yeah, it's some calf tightness.
Yeah. So it's like, it wasn't like a, it doesn't sound like it was like a huge, it's not like he hurt himself as such, but like.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the calf's tight because he's playing freaking every 3 days.
Yeah, okay, so he played 13 minutes against Austria.
That's never great.
No, but from the sounds of it is, when he felt the calf tightness, to hear him say it too, it sounds like it's the sort of thing he would have tried to play through in the past and potentially like really hurt himself, but he's like, he's like, I'm pulling the plug on this thing. This game doesn't matter. I don't need to hurt myself for this.
So maybe you don't even play him over the weekend and you save him for Inter. We give him a couple days off.
Yeah. I mean, look, Mallorca's been better than, I thought Mallorca, just in kind of reading up and writing La Liga previews before the season, I thought Mallorca were going down. Like, I thought they were relegation fodder. Now, I didn't expect like Cadiz and Elche to be just as utterly abject as they
were.
Poor Elche. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, they were. So I went to the match at Camp Nou against Elche. What was it, like 2 weeks ago now or something?
That was ended 4-0, right?
3.
3? Okay.
But, spiritually it felt like 8. Like, their first shot on goal came, I think, in the 93rd minute. And it was a shot on goal in the sense that one dude, like, headed it and Ter Stegen, like, just calmly caught it like you would throw from a kid. So, but
yeah, and but Mallorca aside, lost 4-1 to Madrid a couple weeks ago before the break.
They beat Almeria, also bad.
Yeah.
So the one good thing is, like, looking down at that end of the table, I guess, like, you could say, with the possible exception of Celta de Vigo, like, these aren't teams that score a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a team that's losing a bunch of shootouts or stuff like that. You know, like, it's all these teams are averaging like less than a goal a game. So,
yeah, that's good news. I want to talk to you about the English national team in a minute, but before I do, did you see PSG? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, is that like where, what's his name?
What's Nasser? His face?
Oh,
I was trying to think of his name. Like, that's why I completely blanked.
Yeah, he started he said what Barca are doing is illegal or something.
Yeah, and he wants them investigated. Just like, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's richer than he is, you know? Like, it's just, like, I don't know. Like, just, man, I don't know. That guy and that, it's like that clown club and like that, just, you know, it's like they're trying so hard to matter and like all these like try hard bending over backwards like tactics. Just,
so you don't think Barca should be investigated
for what? Oh man, they sold some family jewels, you know what I mean? Like they hawked some stuff that wasn't tied down. Like, I don't think it was, look, it wasn't the most, like, it wasn't the most dignified and beautiful way to get to, like, financial solvency, but I don't think it was, like, out and out illegal.
All right. Before we head out, I want to talk about, this has nothing to do with Barcelona, and frankly, it's related anyway whatsoever. There are two national teams that are concerning me. Okay. One of them I don't really care about, but we still have to talk about it because they're probably the most popular national team in the world. Why did England suck all of a sudden?
I don't know. That's what's really funny, because, like, I mean, I know a lot of their guys have had more rough periods in the club game since, what would it be, since the Euros, and, you know, definitely since the last World Cup. So I'm talking like, you know, Harry Maguire is, I don't know what happened there. Like, he was once a good player. Now he is emphatically not. And like, you know, Jadon Sancho is like, it looks like it might be getting better for him, like these last like handful of weeks, but he's essentially been lost for a while. And, you know, I don't have an excellent answer as to why that is. Because they haven't really lost anybody. I mean, no one retired. No one's been like horrifically injured or anything. I don't know. Maybe there was just a letdown, you know? I mean, because they had the two most successful tournaments, like major tournaments for an English team in, you know, what, since like 1990 or something. Maybe there was just like an emotional letdown or something. Otherwise, I don't know. And I do think the loss of Harry Maguire is a huge blow. Like when he was good, he was one of their, you know, their center backs. Now he's not, you know?
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Can you comfort me at all as an American with my national team having to, they're going to have to play England and Wales. And I would say right now, if I was betting, I would bet that England and Wales advance through that group over the US and Iraq. But,
no, it's Iran, I think.
Is it Iran?
Yeah.
You know, that's just American exceptionalism right there. That's my bad. Can you convince me that the U.S. have any chance of coming out of this group?
So I haven't. Kind of.
Here's the thing: they drew with Saudi Arabia, and who'd they lose to before that? U.S. men's national. This is just great.
Look, I don't want to cast too many aspersions. Where like, yeah, you know, I don't want to cast new aspersions that may not be true. Where, you know, we have plenty of other stuff to pick on.
But they lost to Japan 2-0. They didn't get a shot on goal.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. It's like, I feel like, I don't know, I was reading like a pre-preview to the World Cup. It's like, you know, losing to Japan or like getting played close by Japan isn't like anything to be ashamed of, but like not getting a shot on goal is...
When you have more problem. Possession, I think they had like 58% of the possession.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't even like a 52-48 or 51-49 type of thing. Yeah, like, so I haven't been seeing a lot of the U.S. games in their entirety. Like, you know, I've been reading stuff and watching highlights and whatever. I mean, the problem is like it felt like there was a moment where there was a good sense of identity and optimism around the U.S. team. I mean, I think it's sort of, yeah, it's like sort of coincided with when Pulisic won the Champions League with Chelsea.
And yeah, like, oh, this must mean good things for the U.S. No.
Well, because it was like, okay, so Chelsea spent like $70 million on him. He went, he's good. And like they won, like not just won stuff, like they won the damn Champions League, you know? Like,
and he was a big part of that.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. And so I think there was that. And I mean, like I said, I haven't been watching the U.S. closely, but the problem is I could make the case against the teams that they have to beat. But I think it's one of those things where like, okay, but then you guys have to actually put in the performances yourselves. Like, I'm not convinced that Wales is good. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm not either, yeah. But like Wales seems to like at least know who they are. The U.S. Oh, yeah,
they play for the national team. Like, you know, like Bale, obviously, and you know, but who is it?
I don't know.
It's Aaron Ramsey, right?
It's Aaron Ramsey. I don't know. I came here for therapy and I don't feel any better about this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think their group is actually that brutally tough.
It's, you know, not. What I mean? If they were any good, it would be easy.
Mm-hmm. So there's no reason why they can't pull out there's no reason why they can't pull out a draw against England the way England are playing now. if you draw with England, draw with Wales, and beat Iran, you're probably, you know, you're probably clear.
Okay, so just like, the opening group stage matches happened to coincide with Thanksgiving here in the United States, which is, you know.
Oh, is it that weekend? I wasn't sure if it was that or is the second one. Yeah.
So they play England, ironically. Hang on, I have to look at this because it's
actually. Is it on Thanksgiving?
It might be. Okay, so they play Iran the day after Thanksgiving and they play England the day before Thanksgiving. That's just incredible. I just got to say, for content, like just like thematic elements, it's hilarious that they have to play England the day before Thanksgiving. I just love it. And they're probably, it's probably going to be a 0-0 draw with no shots on target and just be a dud fest.
Yeah, which like, I mean, look, England is, playing England now is kind of the best. It really is the best time to play England because like, they're not playing well. And like,
they're just as nervous as we are.
And their media is going to turn on them. I mean, like the English press are jackals. I mean, yeah. And then like, so that's going to mount. So that, like, they might be pressing. There's a very good chance that there's openings left. Or,
and here's the thing. So when the US plays England, that's both of their second matches. So the US opens with Wales and England opens with Iran. So, you know.
Theoretically, I mean, the bookies would tell you they're both going to come in with, like, on 3 points.
Fingers crossed.
I know. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if the U.S. is favored against Wales. That might be, might be BS.
I've spent too much of your time talking about my crappy national team, but that's all I got. Here's the thing. We're entering a tumultuous time for Barcelona. The injuries are going to continue to pick up, like you went through with the match schedule. They had to play a ridiculous amount of, I think, 10 or so matches over the next 30 days.
And the thing is, like, whoever's not hurt then has to go play the World Cup. That's what's like,
it's just not good. Here's to hoping that Poland get knocked out early.
I was going to say, I'm so pissed that Poland qualified. You know, like just.
And again, I'm 25% Polish, but I just have to root for them to get knocked out because our jewel.
Oh, I have absolutely nothing against. just more so like I want Lewandowski to like just
have a nice holiday, Rob.
Just go chill somewhere. Yeah. Go to like, where is it all the guy? They all go to Dubai, right? Like just go hang out in like Dubai.
He's close
like,
by, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, dude, just go to like Mallorca and Ibiza right here. Just go.
Tumultuous times. For Barcelona
I know it's.
Fans.
Yeah, and it does suck that it's all just kind of concentrated at the back too. Like just, I mean, I don't know if it'd be better to just lose like one or two guys at each level. Probably, I guess.
But spread the love.
Yeah, because like I'm like, man, we're really like scraping now. I mean, just
we felt so good about our
like,
defense.
We're gonna
like,
try
two
to bring
ago.
Back like Ndidi or something. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just.
So Jordi Alba, are you still mad at us? Or
I know, like just
PK. Or
so remember how we? Yeah, remember how we said you were dead to us?
Yeah, about that.
Sorry about that. Like, yeah, and Gerard PK is like, I read something like he's denying that he's willing to go to Atletico Madrid for like I didn't even know that was in play. But
it's good stuff. All right, yeah, we're running out of time. Tell us what you're working on.
So I am doing the normal stuff. I actually wrote a. I'll send you a link for it. The For Squawka, I actually wrote what I think the Spanish national team will be / should be. And the of particular interest there is sort of the defense and the attack, but because the midfield kind of picks itself. But so I mean I'll send you that. And additionally, I mean, I'm just doing a lot of the sort of the normal stuff like just previewing NFL games and still waiting on the Blizzard piece, the my opus to my opus about Danny Alves, and
we're waiting eagerly.
Yes, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that as well. But and then just writing other things that are sports and or gambling adjacent, as as that's the world we live in these days.
It's true. Everything's gambling. everybody check out Emil's work at Hardwood Hype on Twitter. We will link the Squawka Spain piece below. And as always, Emil, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, man. Anytime.